I can fly you out to Paris. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, okay. And welcome to another episode of Combos with Manny. This one's Combos with Manny. It's different. It's a different
lead-in. Welcome back to Combos with Manny. Is that why you do it?
Yeah, I don't have a for sure one. I just kind of do what I do. And you probably, if you're a Knights fan, you could recognize the Aussie accent because it's Bobeese, otherwise known as Elise, welcoming us all the way from Aussie land. She's
literally in Australia now.
She's totally matching her accent with her geographical location.
I think it's gotten stronger too. I think it's gotten a little bit stronger.
But you need to go back and get a little stronger. If not,
it's true. Well, on so many levels, man. Well, on so many levels. I think so. I think it does get thicker when I come back here. But I've been back here for a while now, so
yeah.
You got needs to come home.
When are you coming again? March.
It's so nice to be 4th? Here.
I'm so glad that you're here. It's happy to. It was hard to get you because obviously. Since you've been gone, you've been busy for a long time. You've moving on. Yeah, yeah.
No.
Oh, man, I wasn't planning that. You've been so
that
busy,
was very
though.
Good, though.
You just dropped a devotional.
And I did. I actually have it here. Look at this marketing right here.
And Easter's ones for God so loved.
It's got all my fingerprints on it, Manny. Look.
That's so nice, though, with the little foil. Did you design it?
The little foils, and then it's a 21-day Easter devotional. I'm very excited about it.
When do you start it? On April 1st?
March 15th, we start the actual journey. But people can start, if they want to do it with me, then March 15th. But it will start whenever they want it to start, you know?
And you came up with all the content.
No, I read someone else's 21-day devotional. I'm like, this is good. So then I just like read it and then wrote it down.
It's you sampled it.
It was really quick.
Yeah.
So
that's what we musicians do.
I did.
Well, because you never know. Because with books and stuff, you know, you always got ghostwriters or helpers or something. I don't know.
No, that's actually very true. I think that for me, this kind of came out of an Easter thing that I did last year with a friend of mine, Hannah, and we did these Instagram lives every night, and she has like a way bigger platform than me. And after I got so many requests to do it again this year, but have an actual devotional. And then when COVID happened, you know, a couple of global pandemics here and there. I was like, why not? And I had a bit more time. And so then I did a classic. You'd be so proud of me. I pitched it to this company before I'd even written it yet. So I pitched the entire idea as if I'd like had it right sitting there. Like, so this is ready to go whenever you need it.
Yeah.
And then the next week they were like, we want to do it. Could you have it could you send it over by Friday? And I was like, yeah.
Wait. And so you did it in like days?
I had to write it in 5 days.
Oh my gosh. What company is it with?
It's with a company called Horatio Printing, already my favorite printing company and design company. And the stuff they do is beautiful. I honestly wish I could take credit for this, but Polly is incredible. And so they've sent me so much stuff over the years anyway. And when I was going through my divorce? No, it wasn't my divorce yet. It was like bad marriage part.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dating, fiance, good marriage, bad marriage, divorce.
So
after.
It was in the bad marriage phase?
After divorce. That's the timeline of Lisa's life. But right in the middle of when things were bad, Horatio, Polly sent me this package one day. She had no idea what was going on in my life. I didn't even know her. Of just goodies that she felt to send me. And I remember, you know when you get a gift at the right time and it just kind of feels like I needed this and this person has no idea how much I needed it?
Yeah.
That's kind of where the relationship with Horatio started for me, because I was like, this chick definitely knows the Lord, because she's like, he definitely told her to send this. And so, I don't know, it's been a really cool relationship for a few years. So this little puppy comes out. And honestly, like, it's my first thing that I've kind of done on my own that I had to back myself for. Like, we've talked about it so many times, but it's funny, the story that how it happened, because it does sound so random, but I think it was meant to, because it was the first thing. I had just come off staff, my church's staff the week before it. And the next week I was like, wait, what do I do now? Yeah. And I literally was like, well, I have this devotional idea. I could, why don't I just email her and see if I set up a meeting? And it kind of felt very like Coffee, you know, like Coffee always talks about like just like making your own way of doing that. And so I did, and I'm very proud of it, but I'm proud that it didn't fall in my lap. Like, I'm proud that I was like, let me see what happens.
And yeah. Kind of, you gave it a go.
I gave it a shot, Maddie.
Man, that's so good.
Now I'm here talking to you.
But you should, what else do you want to give a go?
Oof.
Just so,
You're good at asking questions.
I kind of am good at this.
Yeah, I know. We've been doing it for a minute now. What else do I want to give a go?
What? So that me and the world can keep you accountable. They will too, because they keep me accountable of stuff that I don't even remember I said.
I remember they used to always keep me accountable and be like, I just love how, you know what? One thing I'm giving go right now, which is going to sound very strange. I'm trying to tell the truth more. And which I'm still struggling with, because it kind of makes me sound like I've always lied, and that's not true at all.
Right.
But I think I'm now starting to come to terms with the fact that as an Enneagram 3, not that that defines you or all that stuff, I'm starting to embrace and not try to pretend it doesn't exist, the struggle that I have with being honest. And this is even going to sound neat the way I'm going to say it, but being honest even when it's messy. And I've said that before, but trying to tell the truth on purpose rather than it accidentally slipping out and being like, oh yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
So that's one thing I'm trying to do more. I'm trying to lean into more moments of backing myself. So right now I'm writing a proposal for book number dose.
Okay. Two? The actual book. Yep.
The actual book. There was the book before, and then there's the actual book about the last few years of my life.
Do you have a title?
And that is going to be very much about telling the truth. And I am trying to figure out what I like. So I think that I've spent a lot of years conforming to what other people around me wanted. I'm very good at green rooms and knowing what a room needs or knowing what a conversation needs. So I'm trying to get better now about saying, what does Elise need? What do I want? And even when I say that, I'm like, oh, I don't want that to sound selfish, but
yeah.
Like that's just my brain. Like I'm constantly on this, like what's those rats or mice on the little
hamster wheels?
The hamster, not mouse, not a mice or a rat.
Yeah, it's a hamster wheel. Yep. Mm-hmm. They're kind of they're in the mice family.
That'd be so gross if you had a pet rat on a wheel.
People have them. They have mice. No, they have mice. Mice are cute.
Mice are different to rats, Manny.
Okay.
Mice are different.
One smaller.
Anyway, riveting conversation.
Yes.
But I'm trying to be less on that hamster wheel and just be okay and not trying to present something all the time. Does that make sense?
It does. I used to be in the industry too, so I know.
So you get it.
I completely get it. It's it's a thing that you can easily fall into without even trying, because all it is if you want to please, in a church world, pleasing your leaders or the people that follow you or the people that look up to you seems almost like a pious service unto God.
To God, yeah. If you're pleasing your leaders. Yeah. I think we took that verse, honor your leaders, and we've called honor a lot of things. And I wrote about it the other day because I've been trying to find this place of, we've called it honor, and it's not honor. It's not. It is making an idol of the leaders, even when they're called pastor. And it didn't start like that, but somewhere along the way, we created a hierarchy because we love hierarchies. And I've loved hierarchies. I freaking love them. Yeah. Like, I love a good church conference. I love them. But I'm coming to that place now. I know you hate them.
I know. I don't hate them. I used to perform in them. I'm not a fan of hierarchies. I noticed that they exist, but you are correct. Since the beginning of the Bible, God's people has always wanted a hierarchy. They're the ones that cry for it.
Do you think it's just God's people, or do you think it's everyone?
No, it's for sure. Look, I think, I don't want to say it's everyone. It's those who depend on, rules to be able to feel justified in whatever it is. If you, you know, if you're,
this needs wine in it. I wish I'd had wine. We need to have wine.
I have some here. If you're a believer, you need the rules, because how else can you know if you're doing good and Jesus loves you? The idea of faith alone is not measurable. So it's kind of like, I need a pat on the back. I need an attaboy because God ain't patting me on the back. So I just need something to measure whether or not I am doing good in this walk with God. Because if it's just faith and if it's just trust, I am not going to make it.
But then, is it that God's not patting you on the back, or have we just decided that patting you on the back looks differently and we've thought that that actually came through a pastor, not God himself? So maybe God has been patting us on the back with feeling content and with all these other things, but actually we've decided that God patting you on the back looks very much like if I progress in the hierarchy of church, if I go from being a manager to a director. I can't go to being a pastor, I'm a female. But yeah. Oh, shots, Elise, calm down. Deal with the issues. Good Lord. But I think that progression somehow we've decided is means that God's proud of me. And I just wonder if God's like, oh no, I was already proud of you. That's actually taking you off course. And it's this whole, I don't like the word deconstruction. I'm not gonna lie. I'm trying not to lie. So we just went through that. But I don't like it. And I think it may be because it scares me. So I'm just not ready to say I like it.
Sure.
But there is an undoing of, of a lot of the things that I think I grew up.
Yeah.
Innocently, like, and it was innocent. Like, I had never sought out to be messed up from church, but a lot of the things that mattered to me just aren't even in the Bible. And I'm like, which Bible, guys? Like, which freaking Bible? And it was a handbook, not the Bible. And I just didn't realize it. And then suddenly you make all these decisions and you cut all these things out of your life because that's the hierarchy and that's what church says. And it's not what church says, it's just what's suggested, right?
Sure.
But if God's proud of me, that looks like a pastor's proud of me. And so you make all these decisions and you think you're doing what's right, only to look around and realize those people, they don't like have your back like the other, and I'm still trying to find words for it, but the other people that love God did.
Yeah.
But you cut them off, you cut them out, you move away from those things that don't fit into a church service, and you just wonder, why don't I feel like myself? And I think that's been a bit of my journey the last year or two, is like, why do I constantly not feel like myself? And why do I constantly feel like I'm having to prove myself to people that I can never prove myself enough to? And you get to a place where you wonder, would I ever be able to prove myself to these people? And I'll have moments of it where you feel like you belong and you feel like you made it. And I'm the queen of that. Like, yeah. I'm a church kid and I still love church. And I've said that so many times this podcast because I always feel like I have to, like,
let everybody know that don't get too scared. Don't get too scared.
But calm down, everyone. Don't at me. But I had people that were worried about me and people that were wondering even what's this podcast that you're on? Who are these people?
Sure.
And it scared them. And that scared me. It always scared me when other people were scared for me, even if I wasn't scared for me.
Yeah.
And I think that was more about my reputation, how that might affect the hierarchy more than how it's going to affect my heart. And I'm trying now to see what affects my heart more than what affects a hierarchy. And it's tough and it's messy and I don't even know if I'm doing it right. Like, I could just be messing the whole thing up, but
I don't know. I think starting with honesty is probably a really good way to not mess things up. And I don't when I hear you speak, I feel like metaphorically you feel like you're falling and you're like grabbing tree branches to try to like make sure the fall doesn't hurt.
I'm like the cartoon character.
Exactly.
That just keep hitting more branches.
Hit mad like, branches sucks. On the way down. But inevitably you have to hit the ground and it's the beauty. It's kind of like what I joked and text you, you know, I'm like, you're going to shatter, the pieces will fall and you'll cut yourself on the way down and it'll be amazing because at that point you're really at a humble place where it's like, I am okay not knowing. And it's something that I've, since you've left, I've adopted it on the podcast. I tell people all the time, I'm like, hey, check with me in about a month on everything that I just said, because I could totally change my mind. And I will never say I am right. I will never say this is how it needs to be. I just won't say it anymore, because I have been humbled too many times into believing that, A, I know what God's doing with my life. B, I know how things are supposed to go. I don't do hierarchies well. Let me go back. I do hierarchies well, how I really truly believe God intended them. So I have real relationships with my pastor friends, with my actual pastors, you know. I just don't.
Are you saying, was that a dig at me?
No.
With your actual pastors?
No. No, like actual pastors.
With my actual, the ones that are actually called pastors.
Yeah. Not like my friend who's like, you know, pastoring himself. I mean, like my actual pastors, I have good relationships with them, but I've just, I understand now. Look, since the podcast started, I understand now more than ever what it means to do real church. You know, I'm no longer disillusioned into thinking church is this place that I go. And I laugh because something hit me the other day when I was reading the word, and it's so simple that I'm just like, I don't understand how I didn't notice this. But I'm like, Jesus did 99% of all miracles and all things in the world. He only taught at the synagogues, you know, that they recorded a couple of times. He just wasn't there. He was always out, like, with people.
But do you think that that's because he wasn't there or just wasn't recorded?
I think that with the people that were following him, they knew instinctively. It's kind of like if I was around you, I would know what part of your biography to keep out and what part to keep in. I would know, because I know you, because I'm with you. I know that if I'm going to write a biography on Elise, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure I always have my pen out when she's with her family. I'm going to make sure that I always have my pen out when she's at yoga. I'm going to make sure that anytime she has a time to hang out with her girls, I have to have my pen out, because I know these are going to be extremely important situations.
Yeah.
In her car, probably not. You know what I'm saying?
If the greatest showman's playing.
If the greatest showman is there, for sure. But, you know, so that because I know you, but I feel like they knew him enough to know, oh, the one time we did record him in the synagogue, like he wasn't, like, when he went and turned over all the tables in the place that people were supposed to be worshiping, it's like he clearly drew a line on what he believed to be the leaders of the day, the pastors of the day, and where he was choosing to spend his time. He was not congregating in conferences. He was not rubbing elbows with other pastors trying to make sure that he can get invited to their church. That dude was just always with, like, the most normal people who didn't benefit him in any way possible. And I'm not saying those other things are evil or wrong. I'm just saying where he spent most of his time was with people who couldn't give him anything. So I think
it's so true. And that he really was giving. And that didn't mean he wasn't ever receiving. Like, you see it all throughout the Bible. One thing that was constantly recorded was Jesus got up early and went to be with God. Jesus was praying. Jesus went to solitude. Jesus was like, peace out, I gotta go. And I think that that is what's interesting, isn't it? Is that so often we spend so much time giving out and then not receiving from anyone, or we spend so much time just trying to get a seat at the table that Jesus would have turned over. And I think that, like, that's where I'm at right now, is like, God, what is the table that you want me to look like anyway? Because I set up such a good place. Oh my gosh, Manny, the cutlery, the plate, the glass, the table.
Do you feel like you're eating alone though?
Now I do. That makes me want to cry. I don't want to eat alone.
Oh my God, but how beautiful is it? Because you just finished describing something that's so anti-church. You said that whenever God wanted to get filled, Jesus, he went away alone. Mm-hmm. He didn't run to a church. He didn't run to a whatever. And this is not speaking against church. This is just saying, could he have been setting up an example that when it all comes down, when everyone is not around, and when certain people you thought were going to be there are not there, is just you and God sufficient? Because if it's not, and you need all these other things to make your Christianity valid, then God is only as powerful as those other things and whether or not they're in your life. And if that's true, I quit. Right? Because then my depth in him is always going to be based on whether somebody else accepts me in their world, specifically right. church.
Well, and that, there was a moment, and yeah, all right. There was, sorry, I'm just talking to myself here. There was a moment I remember at my birthday. I remember my 30th birthday. It was right before a New York trip, one of the best trips ever. I've ever taken in my life. And I remember being there and feeling like I have two groups of people around me right now. And they don't mix. And I didn't know what to do with that because I felt like it was an example of where I was at in my life of I'm trying to fit in with this group over here and I'm trying to fit in with this group. And parts of me do fit in here and parts of me do fit in here, but where do I fit? And I think the journey I'm going on now is to realize I don't really fit anywhere. Like there isn't quite a place for Elise in the sense that I'm too Knights at the Round Table-y for the church in a sense, no offense, but mm-hmm. I don't think you take offense to that. And I'm too, it feels like, churchy for a lot of people over on that side because I'm always wondering. I remember a conversation I had with Brandon in the pool once where I was like, B, what if we're wrong? What if we're the ones that are wrong? I don't want to be wrong. And he kind of smiled at me and was like, Lise, I don't think you're ever going to have to be worried about leaning too far that way. Like, mm-hmm. you're okay. And because I just, at the end of the day, I'm so emotional on this podcast. Damn it. We should have had a pre-conversation.
It's my understanding eyes.
What?
It's my understanding eyes.
I know. I want to make God proud. Like, yeah. I'm so terrified of going down one avenue or the other too far that I've lost God along the way. And I never want to lose God. I've seen too many people lose God in the search for him on both sides of the argument, if you will. Mm. And I don't want to lose God along the way. And so I remember back at this party feeling like, God, I don't know if I fit anywhere. And if I was to fit somewhere, it definitely would have been exactly where I was sitting in between you and Ange, and I think Katie was there mm-hmm. watching The Greatest Showman outside drinking wine.
Yeah.
And I remember, and from there to now, 31 years old now, not in a church staff, I think I'm just starting to realize maybe it's belonging to me. And if I can find me and God, then it's okay if I go into a setting where I don't fit because I'm not meant to. And it's such a corny saying and quote, but someone was like, why are you so trying to fit in when you were born to stand out or whatever, which is on like What a Girl Wants, thanks Amanda Bynes movie. Mm. But it's true. And I think that that is actually where I'm trying to find my place of like, where is it okay that I don't fit in? I don't know if I'll ever have to be worried about standing out too much in the sense that like, Elise, you're being offensive in the way you're acting.
Yeah.
But I think that I'm on a journey right now to try and figure out what does it mean to belong to me? What does it mean to really know God for myself? And what does that look like moving forward in, if you will, a career that was all lined up for me that I have no idea where I stand in? And I don't know if I'll ever work on a staff again. Part of me hopes so because the other part of me is like, I don't know how to earn money.
I don't know. I got to be honest. I'm hearing you and I'm hearing what you're saying, and then I'm hearing what you're actually saying. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I have an annoying ability to do. But my question is, did you ever feel like you needed to fit in with?
Yeah.
With both? 'Cause I feel like being a part of your life back then, there was one, and I'll let you name sides. There was one side where you had to work for it. There was one side that was just like, we don't really give a shit who you are. We just love you. You can be the wild out version. You can be the not wild out version. You can be the super holy version. You can be whatever version you want to be as long as you're being authentic to yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So when I say I don't know if you're asking the right questions is because I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know, when you're in the right place, you don't have to ask, do I fit in? You don't ever have to, because no one's gonna make you feel like you have to. You just are in, you are accepted in any shape or form that you are. And there's certain people that you have in your life that are gonna ride the wave with you, because we're all freaking changing every freaking day. We're thinking new things. We're deconstructing. We're reconstructing. We're building. We're tearing down. There's few people that are gonna be secure enough and love you enough to just ride it with you, because they want to, because they're more interested in the process and the surety of how beautiful you're gonna be on the other side of it, that they're willing to stick it out. Then there's other people who, if anywhere along that road you take the wrong exit, they're not going to stop and wait for you. You'll try to get back on the highway and you're going to find yourself.
Yeah, but then and then I get blamed for not keeping up.
Sure. You didn't drive fast enough. You didn't have a fast enough car. I get it. But I guess that's my question.
I think that's a good question. I'm not saying that both sides I didn't fit in. I'm saying I didn't know how to, and I still am on a journey to figure out, how do I fit in? No. How do I figure out where I want to be?
That's a better question, but that's not even, you don't have to figure that out. You know where it is. It's just, you just have to peel away all the insecurity, all the fear, all the whatever, because you know, if anybody in this globe knows, it's you. It's you, because it's in you. Yeah. It's just, we put so many emotions, so many things, so many possibilities, so many what ifs on top of the true emotion of what we really feel, that we end up living all those out until we get so tired that we end up at the truth. And it's like, sometimes
I think that's what it is, isn't it? I think we spend so much of our energy trying to figure it out until we get so exhausted that we just stop trying to do and fit and hustle. And we're just like, this is me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's like, speaking of The Greatest Showman, I think that is starting to be like, I think this is more me now. But it's just a scary me, because I'm still learning here. So I feel like it's scary to show the world something that you're still trying to learn. And I say show the world, I'm not freaking a celebrity or anything like that. So I can't imagine.
You mean your world.
I get why Britney had a meltdown, basically.
Yeah, but you mean your world, because that's as real as Britney's world.
Yeah.
Your world is as real as any other celebrity's world, because it's the world that you exist in, and you have to deal with whatever it is, the repercussions of
it. And I think that's what even like COVID and quarantine has helped with, because we were so away from people. Like, dude, I got blamed last year because I wasn't connecting with community.
During COVID?
During COVID. And the fact that if I wanted it, I'd be around more people. And the truth was, is that I was around my best friend. I was around Katie. And I was around maybe two other people. One of the beautiful things last year was... Ange and my friendship, like, blooming again. Ugh, I hate that word. Let's find another word for that. But, like, just reconnecting with her in that way as everyone else started falling away. And it's just so funny how some of those important relationships come back when you probably least deserve them, honestly. I think she's the epitome of a great friend. And when you don't have anyone else. And I think that a lot of those other friendships last year pulled away and moved away, specifically one very toxic friendship that had to be cut off in the end, because you just start to realize it's never going to be enough. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's the point you have to get to with relationships or communities, where you say, is it ever enough? And just because something has the word church or club or community or whatever it says in the title doesn't mean that's what it is. I can go and register my life as a church today. That doesn't mean I, Elise Murphy, the church of Elise Murphy, am going to get you to live your best life.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't mean that at all. And so I think it's just been this last year, COVID's helped us all figure out who are my people? Who are my community? Are they who I thought? And the only way to get there is to get through that phase of being by ourselves and having to deal with ourselves, because that was what last year was all about. Like, I was always joking about how, like, I was pissed off at my roommate and I live alone. Like, the amount of times I was like, Elise, you're so annoying. And I was like, oh, I know. Like, but that's been the only way for me to find compassion for those spaces that I get frustrated with myself, and then have grace. And then on the other side of that is honesty. And then on the other side of that, if I'm honest with myself, then I can start to view other relationships honestly and say, actually, that person has double standards. That's not okay for me, but that's okay for them. That person, it's never enough. I'm always striving. I'm always trying to protect. I'm always trying to heal, and that's never working. And that person over there has just been there the whole time. And I feel myself take a breath out. Okay, well, that's, and that person, I'm always having conversations that I do genuinely feel closer to God. Okay, I'm going to keep that one. And I think everyone needs to give themselves permission to assess relationships like that.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily give ourselves permission to assess relationships because we have the strategic, we have the sentimental attachment to it. And I think when we have the sentimental attachment to relationships, it stops us making accurate portrayals and accurate assessments of them.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe where I've been at.
Do you feel that, looking back, I think you maybe hinted at it already, but do you feel that you made the right decision, or do you feel like you made the wrong decision?
Coming off nights?
It depends on who you're metaphorically speaking about or not speaking. I told you I wasn't going to name anything. If you want to name it, you can name it, and then I'll join you.
Well, we just named it.
Yeah. Do you feel like you were afraid? You were afraid of the, you know, and I knew that, but do you feel like,
let's cute that we pretended though.
I can pretend. Yeah. I didn't know. I mean, do you feel,
you know,
like,
what? I think that at the time for me, it was a right decision where I stood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a different me now. So does that mean I would have made a different decision?
How are you Maybe. Different now?
I think that I'm.
What
less
would the new now
about.
Say to the year ago, Bobies? Like, what would you tell her? Like, if I was able to peek into a conversation, if you were to be honest with yourself.
You know what I would do?
Hmm.
Ugh. I would sit down with myself if I could go back to Elise then, and I would say, "Hey, it's just me. How are you really feeling?" Because, like, sometimes you never quite know who you can be honest with. And I think that when we talk about questions like that, like, what would you say to your past self? I think I would listen. And I would let me in the past talk honestly and openly and help me move to a place where I realize some of those things rather than telling me. Because I've grown up with people telling me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I would give Elise back then space to talk freely. And lead her to a place of, so who are you doing this for? And then maybe I would have made a different decision.
Did you feel that back then you had the space? You just didn't see it? Like, maybe the space was there with the people that you were with, but it's like the little Elise, someone's behind her grabbing her shoulders, and you know how you turn them in a circle so that they can go towards the piñata. So they're like, the people who were controlling is like, oh, that's the direction. Yeah. Go. Your target's that way, not this other way.
That's a good image of it. I think that that's like, that feels accurate in terms of, and not that anyone was trying to hurt me.
No.
I don't think anyone's ever trying to hurt me. And I don't think even the people that were asking me to perform with even knew they were asking me to perform.
Sure.
So even trying to learn compassion for that, those people weren't asking me to perform. They just, it wasn't helpful for a brand.
Right.
And I think it's still scary to some people. Because I think I've always been very good at people opening up to me. But I haven't quite had a lot of people that I have fully opened up to. And when I have, that scares me. And I think I was starting to feel myself open up And that's like, that's scary territory.
Yeah.
And I think that people were maybe a little afraid of what that would,
look like. One side of the people. Because I could speak for the other side. You know, no one on this side.
Let's not say names, Manny.
Well, you already said it, so. One side was for sure not afraid. The side that we were on was already fans. And more so fans of the broken, the unassuming, the, I don't know. You know, because it's, I know we didn't have you in our life for answers. We didn't need anything from you. We just needed
you make me sound like...
No, I'm saying...
Definitely weren't asking you any questions.
Meaning like answers to life, answers to why you are what you are, who you are, how you do this. Like, we don't need answers for that. We don't need that. You can do the dumbest shit in the world. And the only thing...
And it did.
Yeah. The only thing we're going to do, and I know it was speaking for me specifically, is just going to be like, I just want you to be okay. Like, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter about anything else. I don't need answers. Just need you to be okay, you know? And I think when you find people, a group of people that truly only care about that, then you know you found church, you found family, you found all those things. And the beautiful thing for you is that you haven't lost it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not like it's a bad relationship to which the guy's like, screw you, I don't want to see you no more, get the hell out of my face, you know? It's not like that. It's more so of a, you know, kind of like whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's beautiful. I love everything that's coming out of your mouth. I hear the striving, and that, if I would want to kick that out, like the second, like all those questions that are like unnecessary. It's like I don't need you to do any of that. Please just be. Even if you don't know what that is, just be it. Whatever today, who you are right now. Because that is just the version of who you are in this moment that God is extremely proud of and that loves. And I think the people that do love you the most are going to be so, it's like, I think about, we know this. You ever go to, you've been to those church conferences where they play the worship music and then the dude on stage paints? And you don't know, you don't know what he's doing. You're like, What is he doing?
It's always an upside down lion, and then he switches it up.
And then it's like Jesus' eyes, and you're like, oh my God. And
he's the lion and the lamb.
But you're so into it because you're like, I don't know what this is going to be, but it's going to be good, or else they wouldn't have him on stage. That is your life for the people that care about you.
Yeah, but I don't know what I'm going to be either. So I'm like, what is he painting? But it's me.
But there's a surety. Because of who you are and because of your heart, there's a surety that it's going to be something that God is going to be proud of. Not because you tried, but because innately the person that you are loves God. It's in the trying where you lose yourself. Yeah. I think. People think it's in the not trying. People think if I give up and I just start being whoever the hell I want to be, then I lose God. Or they backslid or whatever. I think it's in the trying where you lose God. Because in the trying, you have somehow tricked yourself into thinking, like Paul says, which one of you, if you began this walk of faith in faith, thinks that now he's going to attain it by works?
Yeah.
That church was having the same problem. It's like, bro, you began in faith and you think you're going to end in works? How does that compute? You began in faith, so you will end in faith. It's the trying that gets in your way.
Because so then where's the balance, though, then between the being
like and we... There is no balance. There's no, that's a tricky word. There's no balance. Balance is left to like work and play. Okay. Balance. You could use that there. When it comes to your relationship with God, there is no balance. It's
no, but I mean in life too, like where is the whatever, insert different word here for balance between going like, okay, I don't want this over here. But for example, in my life going mm-hmm. like, ooh, I don't know where I fit because clearly I wasn't enough for ministry. Mm-hmm. Clearly I was told that I kept getting too many opportunities in media and needed to choose. Mm-hmm. And so then I said, okay, well, I'm not giving up both. And then I'm in this in-between way right now where there's a practical having to earn money, a practical having to, I'm lucky in the sense that I have a community of like people and friends that, like you just said, are like ready to go. But some of those practicals of who am I now? Don't even get me started on that. That's a whole different podcast. But where is the middle ground between just being and also trying to set up a, you know, what it's going to look like yet?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's, if you haven't noticed, the push.
You're about to say something smart ass. I know.
No,
you
I'm
are.
Saying. Okay, so if you haven't noticed, the choice of where you're at is not a choice that you made yourself. You said that you chose to pick. You know, you didn't want to give up both, but that wasn't even your choice. Somebody just kind of gave you an ultimatum, and you were left with a decision. It was just like, here. Everything that's going to happen in your life, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be the catalyst that starts it. It's, you're just not. So you said earlier, Horatio, you know, like you're glad that you sent the email, but the freaking way back in the day, they were sending you stuff, which meant God was like setting it up way back then.
Yeah. Right.
You just, again, you're like, I tried something now, because now you're gonna, the fear is like,
okay, well, don't make me sound like that.
No, I'm saying, because I do the same thing. The fear is the thing now, this program is like, oh, let me go try again. Let me go try again. And then if it doesn't work, then it's like, man, God, what the hell? I thought this is how we do things. And it's not like that at all. It's just like that one time where I prayed for a girl and her leg got healed. She had a broken leg. And it got healed. And I was oh my God. And then I go pray for the guy in the wheelchair at Chick-fil-A.
That's still one of the worst stories. I can't even handle you telling it. It's the worst.
So bad. And I'm thinking, you know what? It took me like 2 years to ever pray for healing again. Why? Yeah. Because I got in the way. Because I tried.
I'm always getting in the way. Why do I always gotta get in the way? Don't answer that. I'm not ready for that yet.
Nah, I mean, yeah, it's part because you're a 3. I'm an 8. I kind of feel like we should be wings, but I don't think that's how it works. But
it doesn't work.
Yeah, I don't think so. It's the same.
I think it's like the 8-3-7, and someone will tell us if we're wrong. But like, I think that they, because Dad's a 7, and so I'm always like, am I a 7? I think I'm a 7. No, I'm for sure an 8. And everyone's like, you're a freaking 3, dude.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like I'm an achiever too, but I'm an 8. You know,
but 8 to achieve. Wait, I don't know. We just know. At least, would just 3s, 7s, and 8s.
Yeah, that's what we are. But I am fully on board with the idea of you not knowing anything right now or knowing some things, because I just think that if you stop trying, I just feel like you're just gonna be, and it's gonna be freaking amazing. And I feel like when you approach this book coming up. Man, I just feel if you can, and I think you can, throw away every freaking limiting thought. It's kind of like what I did when I went back to when I got signed with Pandas, and I went into the studio and I told everybody that was writing with me, I said, if anybody here says these words, what are the Christians going to think? Then I'm kicking you out of the room, because you are not going to stop this vibe that's happening. This is not a time for bowing down to other people's beliefs or their opinions of me. This is a time to ask God and to let him speak to me in a new way, not in a way that I think I'm going to get judged, but in a brand new way. And out of those sessions was where I got my $1 million deal. The deal that I have been trying for 12 years to get, trying so hard to be this Christian thing, couldn't even come close. Then I stop trying, go to Nashville, record 3 songs, take a couple pictures, and get a $1 million deal. I didn't even try. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm going to write a book too. I'm going to write a book talking about trying. It's in the trying. It's not in the trying. What would be a good title? It's not in the trying. Maybe it's that's your
trying.
Title.
It's not in the trying. What's a good title? I think that is your title right there.
That could be a great title. Or it could be your title.
Stop trying. Oh, I already know my title.
I asked you earlier. I didn't hear you. What is your title? Oh, wait. Are you not allowed to say it? You
can't say it. It's so my title. I've known it for a long time. You'll know it. As soon as I tell you, people will have to stay tuned and I will give you the updates. It will be all about exactly what you've been talking about. And even in my proposal, I've been reading it to mom and dad as I go. And I've been honest with them about the fact that, like, I need you guys on this journey with me because I need you to be okay at every point to really be okay in what I'm saying, because you won't, some of the stuff you didn't know, some of the stuff you won't like, but I have to be honest. And if I'm asking other people to tell the truth, I have to go first. And that's where I went wrong in my first book. I was asking people to tell the truth, but I was filtering mine. And it's not fair when you do that. And you actually, people read filtered truth and wonder why they don't feel like they had the permission to be telling the truth as well. It's because you weren't hearing or listening or reading truth. And so this one has already in the chapter summaries that I've been reading them, I'm like, okay, mom, take a deep breath. And she's like, okay. And then I'll read that chapter summary of that time and what happened here and what I'm going to say. And she was like, okay, I just need a day to process that. Like, okay, because I'm, as much as I can, I meant what I said at the start. I'm trying to tell the truth.
Yeah.
And I'm not very good at it, but I'm trying.
Yeah, that's good.
And
I think that's so good. Tell me the truth about boys.
What's that?
Tell me the truth about boys. Or did you just pretend not to hear me?
Yeah, no. What? What? I think my connection is breaking up. I don't know. Wait, what?
Tell me the truth about boys. Is there a boy?
There's no boyfriend.
I didn't ask that.
I know you didn't ask that.
You know what I'm asking?
No, do you know what? There was a right around the time that I don't know why I keep trying to like not give away which side I'm talking about. We've labeled it right around the time that I came off the podcast. There was also a boy that I met in a bar, and he was incredibly, like, it was an incredibly healing experience because he wasn't a Christian, and I was like, what? This doesn't make sense. And he was one of the kindest people. He's probably the kindest guy I've ever dated, actually dated. And yet I couldn't get past the fact that this isn't going to go well. And because it was already in my time of not offending anyone and proving stuff, I ended it. And then he came back around last year during COVID, because they all came back around. Anyone that's single knows what I'm talking about. They always come back around. And this time I was in a place to actually allow myself to be curious. And I'm trying to use that word a little more often, rather than say no to something, just to be curious about it for a while. And that ended, but it was good because I was able to figure it out without feeling like I was being swayed one way or another. So then I was able to find out on my own, oh, this isn't where I need it to be. Like there's some things that I felt like I couldn't talk to him about. But it wasn't a bad experience. It was actually a really good experience.
Yeah.
So there are no boys, no boyfriend right now.
That's good. I'm actually kind of proud of you because I think...
kind of proud. I like the... Yeah, kind don't throw out a full proud.
Well, because, you know, the protector in me is like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna figure it out. But then the rest of me is like, well, you know, I had to learn that way too. I had to learn...
She has stayed at some point.
I had to learn that, you know, like, there are certain relationships that if they don't have... levels or core values that I have, like, I'm only going to be able to share a portion of myself. And that's even like, we're not even talking about just the Jesus. I'm talking about anybody that could be listening. It could be anything that, you know, there's a part of you that you have to hide because this other person is not going to get it, not going to rock with it, nor support you in it. It's never going to be a good thing. it's never going to be a good thing. So I had to learn the same thing. I've had amazing relationships that so many things were great, but it's that one thing that I'm like, for me, it was big as I don't like talkers. I like doers. I love people that say they're going to do something and then they do it. And the reason being is not because I want to like hold them to the fire, but because one day I know my butt is going to be like, oh, I don't want to do it. I quit. This is too hard. And I'm going to need that same spirit to be like, you can't quit, bro. You got to keep going. Like it's.
And then you were looking for a female that would call you bruh as well. Yeah. Listen, bruh. And then you found the edge and you were like, she can.
Yeah, she'll never call me that. Dick.
No, but I think it's like, I don't know. I always say it's like, this is the year for it, guys. But I don't know. Something like feels good about this year. So
wait,
you never know.
Meaning in like love is in the air? Like you feel
I
like,
don't know. Maybe. Oh, and okay. They're like, I'm the girl that's talking from no leads at this point. There are no leads. And online dating still is just like apparently it was 90. I think it's 90% of people are meeting online. Oh my gosh. I might have just made up that statistic. It was between 70% and 90%. Most people are meeting online. You know what they say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I still, we did the podcast about it years ago, a decade ago, at least, stop. But like in the first season of it, we did the love podcast, which I still send people to this day.
Oh yeah, it's good. I send people too.
And I sent it to someone yesterday because she's in like church world in ministry and was like, I just don't know how I feel about online dating. And I was like, listen to this. It's so helpful. But I still am kind of in the place where I need someone to be vouched for. I think I still get a bit scared to meet a complete stranger.
I would be in the same place if I was ever, we talk about this. We have multiple podcasts about this. If we ever ended up single. And
have you guys gotten another single person's perspective, or is it just three married people sitting around?
Well, we did an interview with this girl, Kat Harris, and she heard one of our episodes, and it was about, you know, if you had to do it again, would you wait till marriage to have sex? So, you know, I've always been open about it. I'm like, no, I think I will have a hoe phase. And I say that, but then deep down, I'm like, no, I probably would.
You would get too attached.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to. What
you'd
I would
like,
do.
Wait, don't leave. I love you. And she was like, this is a one night stand. We
exactly.
Talked about this. You're like, but I want to marry you now.
I would be that guy. I'd be like, no, I know. I know what I would do. I would find someone that I'm attracted to that's a close person that I know, and I would attach, and I'd be like, I love you. I can't be the guy that just runs around and does all that stuff.
Hey, self-awareness is key.
And I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with that. But we did the podcast about that, and if we had to start over again, and I would, you know, I am not envious of anybody that's trying to make it happen online. Like I'm afraid of rejection so much that I don't think I would put myself in any position to be rejected. Like not even in real life. Like I've never in my life gone up to some girl and said, hey, what's up? My name's Manuel. Can I buy you a drink? I've never done any, not even close. I've only met people by way of friendships, and somehow I get wind that they like me or they're throwing vibes. And even then I'm like, I gotta get.
And even then you're like, I'm married. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, Ange. You're welcome, Ange. I got you.
Oh my
God.
We were talking about the past. But I do be giving people future emails.
Even then you're like, listen, my wife, like, Angela's like standing there going, Manuel, we have to leave. You know,
I'm gonna tell Ange,
why are you still talking to this chick?
We should have business cards of future emails. Right? Like she should have one that says, he's not here anymore at angela.com, and then I'll have mine. Just in case we see people along the way that were like, hey, keep this. If you ever see us online and it's happening.
Keep this! Stop! Manuel's so scared of being rejected. He's trying to sort out like when, if Angela dies before him, who he's going to be with afterwards.
You need a lineup. You need someone to go to.
We're having a plan B. I like your plan A.
I like my plan
A for
too.
Angela.
Is it morbid that we plan on dying sometimes? It's very morbid.
It's morbid how much you and Angela talk about each other dying. Yeah.
Because we just want to be prepared. And I don't think we'll ever be prepared. Isn't that? That's so human. The only way you try to deal with some like real tragedy.
You're trying to be so prepared.
Try to plan it out. I'm the worst.
But we could use that email. We could use that email for me.
For so, you. Like,
if anyone has ideas, thoughts.
Thoughts.
We should really do something where we try to set me up. Do you like me?
I already tried. Now? You were very anti that. But wait, let me stop. That was old Elise. That was old Elise. Now we have...
Quit holding it to my old self.
Yeah.
Let me be me and leave me with the Lord.
I'm sorry. That was very satanic of me. That was throwing the past in your face. I am fully game for a episode. Not only an episode, but an actual... almost like a reality... type thing where we put into the episode a date, a pre-date, like I'm with you on the street, me and B, and we're videotaping you before you go into the restaurant getting your thoughts.
My heart is like,
and then we sneakily sit in the restaurant, obviously, you know, we go in, we sit across the way. And then we make walks to secretly record and then meet up afterwards. I would so do that. I would beyond do that. I think that's amazing. But, you know, it's up to you. Whatever. It's just an idea.
You know what? If it's you, Ange and B, and Maddie dresses me.
Oh, yeah.
Maddie moment.
I have something for that.
I'm saying if the people want it, I'll do it.
Oh my gosh. Wait, but who will pick the guy?
It has to be a committee. It has to be a committee. And we need to go through what I want. We need to go through, we can all decide. It can be the people's guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like this. Where is it going? Yeah. Uh-huh. The people's guy.
How we did the dating, online dating, how it was kind of like we were all talking to the people, even William was like, maybe this needs to be, because I still do need some help in telling the truth. Like, I'm still on a journey of, like, what do I really want? What do I really need? What I have realized from this last guy is he was so much, like, kinder. That doesn't make sense. He doesn't need the limelight as much as I usually go for in a guy. And I realized that was really good for me. But on the other side, he doesn't believe in God, and that was caused some issues because sure. You know, I
when you say stuff, when and... you say he doesn't need the limelight, do you just mean that you're attracted to men who typically command a room?
Yeah,
I could see that. Well, because they have to be super confident to be able to be with you.
Yeah, but then often when they're super confident, then they're also like show hints often, not all the time, but often will show like narcissistic traits and things like that. That is like, you know,
well, because at that point they're competing against you.
Exactly. I don't want someone that's competing with me. So can you command a room without having to shout? I think I need a guy that can, ooh, that was good.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think
that should be a little like,
I don't think that's real confidence. I think the people that compete with you, that's not real karma. That's not,
no, I don't think it is either. And that was like, that ended up being what it was like with my ex, of just, and I was guilty of it too, and this is not, so that's not all on him. It was a competition to fight for his attention. Mm-hmm. And he was able to make people fight for his attention, and I fell into that trap as well. But now I just want someone that loves me and that loves themselves, but not in a narcissistic way.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I do know. So. Anyone who can listen to the podcast, they'll understand that there's a strength in you, there's a confidence in you, there's a presence about you, and I think the person needs to be able to know when to just be the guy that's holding the hand and letting you walk around him.
I would love someone to hold my hand!
You know, and just letting you be the thing, fully knowing that your attention is on him, even though everyone's attention's on you.
Well, that was when I was in ministry, but we'll see how it goes now.
No way, man. You're an author. What the hell?
I'm an author.
You're not just a girl. You're an author.
We started with this.
And we're gonna
end with this. When I have to have the book, we'll be like, this is how it started. Yeah. This is how it's going. It'll be great.
I'm going to put a link in the bio so that way we can
And now I get to come back with the whole crew.
Yes.
And you guys get to try and set me up. I'm really just trying to find ways to come back, you guys. No, I'll do anything.
This is very fun.
Like, will you go fishing? I'm like, yeah, done. I love fishing.
Totally. Fishing for men. I think it's going to be amazing. We'll do a normal podcast. We'll do a normal episode. We'll do a update episode when we find the right guy. I am so excited about this because I'm dead serious.
I know you are. I am too.
I have three different GoPros that go on my body that are secretive. When I tell you I got a chest, I got a hat, I got stuff that I can...
We just need to take video of you taking video.
I am so ready. But anyways, I love you. Thank you for taking time. I know you're busy. What time is it over
Thanks
there?
For having me. It is... I honestly don't even know. Guys, I can't work this.
What is it, 10 a.m.?
It is... I don't know. I don't want to get rid of the screen.
Yeah, don't do it. It's 3:15 p.m. over here. So I have
another podcast. It sounds like I'm very popular. I have another podcast I'm recording in half an hour. But
do you really?
I sell this. Mm-hmm.
With who?
But with a friend of mine, Kate Warman, her podcast, Heart of Dating. I'm going to tell her that we're going to do
I'm supposed to have her on.
We should do a cross. We should do a cross.
I'm talking to her. I'm talking to her. I don't know if it's agent Nicole.
Maybe you're.
Yes. I think I told you that I was trying to. They reached out to me to get on our podcast, and I'm trying to get her now. She just did the conference, right? The single conference or whatever.
Yeah, I just spoke at it.
Yeah, and she
talked about toxic people.
She wrote a book, Thanks for Breaking Up with Me or something like that.
Thank you for rejecting me. You did so great. You did so best.
I so want to talk to her because that title makes me think of a lot of things. You would have a
field day interviewing her.
Really?
I kind of want to be there to listen. Guys, Elise, stop bringing yourself into conversation.
I'm trying to fit. Do you feel like it would be better one-on-one or do you think she'll be better at the table with everybody?
I think she should be at the table.
Okay, cool. Because I'm excited to talk to her. We'll figure something out on how to get her on. But that's her. This is you. We're promoting you. And I'll put the link at the bottom. And we will have Bobis once again come through beyond.
And for everyone that has been DMing and asking where I've been, hopefully this answered some questions and probably brought up more questions. But I don't have answers to those. So thanks for listening.
And I'm sure they'll be excited to see these. So I'm glad. Thank you so much. I love you.
Love you.
And like we say, if you don't, you want to say
have a seat at the table.
Yeah. We pray that you find a seat at the table. But if
you don't, you're always welcome at ours.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers.